In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As I was listening to the gospel being read, it was occurring to me that this is really a perfect Sunday to be hearing this message. This is something we've all heard before, the blessings and woes, the Beatitudes, and I think sometimes they just kind of go by us. And maybe we don't spend a lot of time on it. Having spent a lot of time on it the past week, I now know why we don't do that. It's complicated. Jesus is saying something very difficult in this passage, very countercultural, you might say. And on this day when we have our space filled with those who are dedicated to scouting, they know themselves that often they are countercultural. Amen? The culture is chasing after other things right now. Our society chases other things, and these people have chosen to chase after core values and character building. Jesus has something to say about that today. And he starts out very interestingly, you know, knowing that he's going to say something difficult. Imagine the scene that he puts forward here that Luke tells us about. He came down with them and stood on a level place, and a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. So the people have gathered. Primarily a Jewish people that have heard of this Jesus and have decided to come and follow after him. A large number of the people there are now being called his disciples for the first time in the Gospel of Luke. These are not just people in the crowd. These are people who have proclaimed that they are following this teacher named Jesus. And as we go forward, we'll hear that he is speaking very specifically to those people. But before he speaks to them, we hear on verse 9, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him. Now, they came for two reasons. They came to be healed, and they came to hear. And I think that's the proper order, mainly because I think that's how Jesus did it. And I'm kind of bound to agree with him. So the crowd is there, all these people of all types. Some disciples, some are just maybe drawn to the crowd. Maybe they heard he came with bread and fish, I don't know. But they're there, but many came to be healed and they're pressing in. And you can just imagine, you know, Jesus is there. There's some folks around him. This crowd is pressing in. Everybody wants to touch him. And then something happened. It's pretty subtle in Scripture, but I suspect at that moment it got some attention. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Doesn't say anything that they came up. Didn't say they spent 2-3 days doing healing. It says they were pressing in to touch him, and then the power came out. And they were all healed. See, now that should get an amen, don't you think?
Amen.
And guess what? I suspect it got an amen that day too, and it got people's attention. Because Jesus was about to say something very countercultural. And I think it was his desire that they would hear what he was saying. Not just with their ears, but to catch the fullness of what he's saying. So he drew them near. And then he said this. He looked at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Probably somewhat reassuring, especially for those who just walked away from their very booming fishing business that just had its best day ever, and they decided to follow him. "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. Now, when I read that and I reflect on my life, that doesn't sound like blessings, does it? It didn't sound like blessings to those folks there either. I have had a time in my life when I certainly qualified for poor. Blessed was not immediately how I felt. Hungry and broke is how I felt. I can look back now and see how God blessed me greatly in that time with family and friends and neighbors who would just randomly show up and say, I made a little too much for dinner, because they knew the young guy next door with two kids probably was having a little bit of a hard time making ends meet. There was great blessings that came to me through God's people around me. Great blessings. Did I think that that time of life that was filled with blessing? I didn't, until my life was filled with Jesus. Then I could see it. See, the countercultural thing that Jesus is sharing is he is now telling this whole crowd of people, most specifically those who have chosen to follow him, that everything culturally and in the society in which they live that is perceived as blessing isn't. Everything they see as curse or result of sin, Jesus is now saying is blessing. Being pushed out away from those who you know and potentially love because you stood up and said, I am going to be a disciple of this man, Jesus, who I believe to be Messiah, and to be told you might not be right. And I bet we've all had that experience. We've made a decision in our life with our faith, with our activities, where many people who maybe are a little more deeply ingrained in worldly things turn to us and say, I think you've lost your mind. It happens. You want to freak them out? Go to seminary at 41 years old. You want to clear out your calendar, your social calendar? Brothers and sisters, that will do it. People do not know what to do with you when you do these things, when you dedicate your life to something bigger than yourself that seems to take away the things that this world says are good. People can be confused. But those who have done it and those who understand and hear these words of what is blessing, that's different, isn't it? Because when we live into the blessing, we can see the glory of God. What he's saying is this: trust in God. And in this case, he's saying, trust in me, not you. Trust in me, not the worldly things. Chase after me, not the temptations before you. And he fills that out by saying, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Now, if you're sitting there right now and you've done pretty well in your life and you got a decent-sized bank account, don't panic. That's not what he's saying. What Jesus is saying is, where's your heart? Are you chasing worldly things with absolutely no thought of anything bigger than yourself? Are you doing everything you do just for you, whether it affects someone else negatively or not? Or are you stepping back a little bit? Are you a little more humble in the way you walk? Are you able to see the presence of God, or are you your own God? He says, be careful. He says, if you have chased this world and everything you value is only of this world, woe to you. If you have walked in this world with nothing, emotionally, physically, materially, whatever that may be, if at some point in your life you have fallen on your face at the feet of the cross and said, Lord, have mercy on me, and received his grace, then you know what it means to be truly poor and to be truly blessed. He's turning the world upside down with his blessings and woes. He's saying to those who are there, all that you think and understand that the world has told you is what is most important, I'm telling you it's the opposite. When the world says, do whatever you want, you can work with me here. He who dies with the most toys, I don't think he would agree. It's about the understanding of what moves you. He's speaking to a group of people whose complete understanding is if somebody was sick, if somebody was blind, if somebody was poor, if somebody had no access to the things of the world, they must have done something wrong. They may even be considered sinful. The man that was healed, they said, who sinned, you or your parents? Who made you ill? Was the question. That was their understanding. And those who were held in high esteem were highly blessed by God. Those who were filled with all the things of the world were highly blessed by God. And some of them may have been. The problem is some of them thought they did it. It's okay to have things of this world. The question is, are they your world? And Jesus is saying, we're turning this upside down, or really right side up. So on this day as we gather on the Scout Sunday, and we can look around us and see the uniforms and know that these children and their parents have come to join us, and we can say, thanks be to God that there are things still within our society that sometimes we're a little concerned about, if we're going to be honest, some place where we can turn to the church, to the scouting, to other things and say, here's a place where we can turn the world right side up with Jesus, where we can put things ahead of ourselves for the greater good of those around us, where we can also recognize that in the midst of these things, maybe it's just not really all about us. Maybe there's great blessing in receiving, and maybe there's great blessing in giving to someone else first. A world like that looks a little different than what we are so quickly growing used to, doesn't it? A time when industry and industry leaders and corporate level folks knew how to walk into the beginning where maybe they started. I ran a business. I started unloading the trucks in that business. That's kind of old school thing for somebody like me. I'm not that old, I just want to clarify that. But I started at the bottom, working in the warehouse, unloading trucks, loading trucks, and sweeping up cigarette butts in a parking lot. I married the boss's daughter, although I'm not sure that really made anything happen, but eventually I ran that company. But you know what I never forgot? I never forgot how to sweep up the cigarette butts. And I never stopped doing it. Because I knew there'd be somebody else there that needed to know that you can grow into this life that we have. And to be able to do that, someone has to be able to look and say, come with me. Turning things right side up. Jesus is challenging the societal norm. On this day, in that time, and on this day, at this time. Be careful of whom and what you worship. Be careful, he said. Because if this world's going to get turned right side up the way God intended it to be, we are going to need more people that are willing to stand up and proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are going to need more people who find it a norm in their life to be ostracized by people who are chasing nothing but the world, and they are the ones being put apart because they are always thinking of someone else before themselves. They are learning to care for others, and they are being respectful, and they are claiming values that will be of a good influence on the whole of community, rather than just getting theirs and going home. There's so much more to it. Still turning things upside down, even today. I hope you got your attention. The great blessing comes when we can look at our own lives. Look at where we're broken, poor, damaged, and in need, and fall down on our face and pray to God, have mercy on me. That is where we find the blessing. That is where we find the blessing. If you spend your entire life chasing after the shallow things of this world and nothing more, woe to you. Amen.